I don't know of any announcements, and if I don't write them down, they don't get announced. And so if you told me something, speak now or forever hold your peace. Zach, when is it? Oh, today. Happy birthday, Zach. No emotion on Zach. Don't get him started. He don't. All right. Acts chapter 20. Verse 28. Therefore, take heed. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. In other words, they want a following. I received some literature this week from a guy I hadn't heard in years. This guy is like that. He wants a following. He wants to have people to follow him. Of course, you never know what he's going to believe because he changes from month after month. But anyway, also of your own selves, verse 30 again, shall men arise, speaking perverse things. They arise in the church to draw away disciples after them, to get them a follower. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. And by the way, the only thing that will build you up as a member of the body of Christ is the word of his grace. And that's Romans through Philemon. And I've said it many, many times, we don't follow the life of Paul and the things that he did in the book of Acts. He is not our example to follow. We follow his revelation. When he says, be ye followers of me, he's telling people what he's wrote down. His commandments, that his instructions. But look where he goes on. He said, word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Hang on to Acts there and come over to 1 Corinthians and look in chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 37. You ought to have this verse underlined. When we talk about following Paul, look what he said. He said in verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the what? The commandments of the Lord. Spiritual men, spiritual people, that's saved by the grace of God, will acknowledge that the things that Paul wrote are the commandments of the Lord. And when he says, be ye followers of me, he's not talking about shaving your head and performing a vow like he did in Acts. He's not talking about taking somebody out and circumcising them like he did Timothy in Acts 16. He's not talking about doing the thing, the accident. He's going to the Jew in his early ministry, and he's going to the Jew first in his early ministry. But he's talking about the commandments, the doctrine Be ye followers of me, of the revelations that I got from the Lord. And he says, I will come unto revelations of that. Now I want to talk to you about the warnings. I preached here a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month, several months, I don't know, just it's been a while back, about a great church. And I mentioned the fact that a great church has great messages and the points. Well, I want to talk to you about a great preacher. I want to talk to you about a pastor. I want to talk to you about a teacher. I want to talk to you about what Paul said about warning. Do you know what we do? Look what he said in verse back in Acts 20. He said there in verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Well, what was he warning them about? What was Paul's warning? What was he trying to warn these believers at Ephesus? And that's who he's talking about. And notice in verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Well, I believe that's a warning. But I want you to understand, I wrote down some points that I think that we as believers, and that word warning. The word warning, it means to put in mind. It's not just an alarm to warn you of danger, which that is, but the meaning of it is to put in mind. It's the same word is used as admonish. It has to do with an alarm, but we admonish one another. Turn to Colossians and look in Colossians in chapter... let me get there. I want you to look in chapter 3. You know, let's see. No, that's not the verse I'm after. Let's see, where's that? Did I say Colossians? I might have meant Ephesians. All right, look in Ephesians chapter 4. And also, we're going to go to another passage. But I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 4 and notice what he says there in verse 29. And admonishing has to do with something that comes out of your mouth. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The grace, the ministering of grace, has to do with admonishing one another. We find out that admonishing, it has to do with singing. We build up one another. We make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. We admonish one another. We build up one another. It's not just a warning of something bad that's going to happen to you, that word warning, but it has to do is to put people in memory, stir up their mind about this thing, admonishing them, put them in mind of the things that's around them. That's a good preacher. That's a good teacher. Now look what Paul did back in Acts 20. In Acts 20, notice again. Notice in verse 20. Acts 20, verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Now you know preachers do that all the time. They keep back stuff that's profitable unto the people. Look what he said. but have showed you unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Look in verse 27. Paul said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." In other words, there was nothing that God gave the Apostle Paul that he didn't give to his people. He didn't try to shun it. He didn't try to keep it back. He preached and taught as the Lord revealed to him truth. He taught it to his people. That's a good preacher. You know that? But we're living in a day, like Brother Kevin said, that there are professional speakers today. They don't preach from their heart. They preach from their heads. They're up there to make a living. They're up there because of their profession. They don't preach the whole counsel of God. They preach what people want to hear. They don't care nothing about growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. They probably not half of them not even saved anyway. I'm telling you, we've got a bunch of lost preachers standing behind pulpits. They don't know the gospel. They don't know about salvation. I heard one this week. He never even mentioned the gospel of Christ. He never even mentioned the Lord. And there were people out there that needed the Lord. What kind of world are we living in? We're living in an idolatrous age where there is no warning. There is no stirring up the mind of the believers. There is no giving no alarm. Where's the watchman that's out there today? God used over in Ezekiel about the watchman on the wall. He said, "You see the enemy coming and you don't give out the alarm, then the blood's going to be required at your hand." Where's the men and where's the people and the women, the body of Christ, that's concerned about other members of the body of Christ, even in your own family? Do you know if your family's saved or not? You ever asked them? You ever sat down with your children or your grandchildren or your mom and your daddy or your uncles or aunts or your cousins or anybody you claim to love? You ever sat down and asked them if they're saved by the grace of God? Oh, we're concerned about their physical things. We're concerned about their life. What about their eternal things? What about them ending up in hell in the flames of fire and pointing their finger at you and say, "Why didn't you tell me about Jesus Christ?" So I don't like that. I don't care whether you don't like it or not. I'm the one that's doing the preaching up here. It's time we woke up, folks. Paul said he warned. He brought people into remembrance. He put them in mind of things that was happening. Look what he said. I believe a warning the church, first of all, number one, you ought to follow Paul. Amen? Where do you hear that today? Since when do you hear a denominational preacher get up and preach a message to his people about they need to follow the Apostle Paul? Why, look what he says. Turn with me and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice what he said in verse 14. "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I" what? "Warn you." I'm putting it in your mind. I'm admonishing you. I'm sounding alarm to you. "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech ye, be ye followers of me." He's warning the church. They need to follow him. Why? There were divisions in the Corinthian church. There were some following Peter. There were some following Cephas. And Paul. And some saying there was the spiritual ones. Well, I'm following the words of Red Letter Edition. I'm following Jesus Christ. And they were divided. Look back in chapter 3. In chapter 3, he said in verse 1, Brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. What did I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37? He that is spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto him are the what? The commandments of the Lord. He couldn't speak unto them that are spiritual. They did. Why? They were carnal. He said, as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For wherein there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal or walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another says, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? You know what carnality is? It's denominationism. And the body of Christ is divided, and walls are built up, and the body of Christ can't fellowship one with another. The body of Christ is carnal today. And where is the man saying, follow Paul? Paul warned them. Look in chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I believe a warning ought to go out to the church today, the few followers of Paul. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians 11, notice in verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. And we learned that them ordinances that he did deliver were done away with, just like the rest of them, back in according to Colossians. And now, but we follow Paul's revelations. And he said he would come in the revelations. Look in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians. Notice in chapter 12, verse 1, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. You know what Paul did when he had a vision and the revelations of the Lord? He wrote them down. You know what them revelations are? They're the doctrine. They're wrote in Romans through Philemon. They're the doctrine to the body of Christ. You want to follow Christ today? You got to follow Christ by following the revelations of Paul that he wrote in Romans through Philemon. You can't follow him no other way. Why? You can't live up to his standard. Thing about it. But anyway, follow Paul. He warned, he admonished people, be ye followers of me. Notice something else. I believe he warned the church, and he warned them and brought them in mind to become perfect. Now that word perfect is a good word. It doesn't mean without sin, as people want you to believe. But the word has to do, well, look how it's translated, the word perfect. Before we do, look in 1 Corinthians, Colossians chapter 1. I should have told you to hang on to Colossians, but you might have anyway. But notice what he says in verse, he's talking about verse 24, now who now rejoice in my sufferings for you? Fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God, the house management of God, the house rule of God, the administration of God. And you know each administration is different. Each house has a different rule in it. Somebody has to have the instructions on how to rule that house. Somebody had to have the blueprint of how to build the house. And Paul said, I laid the foundation, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For no other foundations can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. The foundation which we build upon is the gospel of Christ. And we're building a church. God is building the church, but we're the ministers. But look, he said there, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. Now that word fulfill, it means to bring completeness. Now can you imagine taking your Bible and cutting Romans through Philemon out, and you get to the end of the book of Acts, and you start with Hebrews, you would be one confused individual. You know that? You wouldn't know what to believe or how to get saved or how to tell anybody to get saved. Why? No other foundations can any man lay than that which is laid. Salvation is in the epistles of Romans 2, Philemon. It was given to the Apostle Paul, the gospel of Christ, that was hid in the Scriptures. It was a mystery, and it wasn't revealed out of the Scriptures till the Holy Spirit revealed it to Paul, and he began to preach it. Peter didn't know nothing about it. In Acts 2.38, he's preaching a kingdom gospel, the gospel of the circumcision, and if they would repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they would have their sins blotted out at the second coming of Christ. That's not good news to you. The good news to you is your sins have already been blotted out and was blotted out in A.D. 33 and you had nothing to do with it but receive it. You're already atoned for. Now that's good news to me. I don't have to do nothing. But anyway, the fulfilled, it brings it to completion. He said, even the mystery, which is a mystery yet to some preachers. He said, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Christ in you is that spiritual image, that new man that He created in you, that image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the image that Adam lost in the garden there. You have it in you, and that's Christ in you, the hope of glory, and someday He's going to give you a body to go along with that image. Amen. Now we drag this old body around, and now we live in a vile body. Now we live in a sinful body. Now we can't serve the Lord like we want to serve Him because of our old flesh. And He said, there dwelleth no good thing that is in my flesh. He said, the will is there to live for the Lord. He didn't say He loved sin. He said He just couldn't help from it. Why? Because you got an old corpse around you. But one day, we're going to have a new body, fashioned like unto His glorious body. We're going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. We look for the Savior who's going to change it. Thank God. For I'm not a complete product yet. I'm saved spiritually, and nothing could be added to it, but I'm waiting to be saved physically someday at the rapture of the church. People say, well, the rapture's not in the Bible. Well, the concept is, the word called up is, but anyway, look on. Here we go. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28, whom we preach, Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Every man perfect in Christ. Paul was warning every man. You know, he's going out. What is that word perfect? That they sin not? No. It means come to a full age. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and notice in verse 20 how this word is used. It's translated perfect, but look how it's translated here. Same word, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. The word men is the same Greek word translated perfect. You know what men are? They're full grown. They've come to a full look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, Paul warned, he wanted to present everybody a full age. He wanted to present men before the Lord full grown. How do you get to be a full grown? Well, the Corinthians was considered babes in Christ. They couldn't grow up. Why? They wasn't spiritual. How you get spiritual? You got to follow Paul. Spirituality ain't jumping pews and saying homokia or possible tree and all that stuff and laying hands and all that, rolling in the aisles and bellowing in a hailstorm and all that. I mean, that's not spirituality. What is spirituality? It's knowing the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's acknowledging the things that Paul wrote down are the commandments of the Lord. It's rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, when you narrow it down like that, buddy, there ain't many spiritual people in this country. Amen? Look in Ephesians chapter 4. The gifts. He talks about, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now that word perfecting, it's translated mending in Matthew chapter. It's mending the nets. They were putting them back together, making them like they're supposed to be. Bringing the divisions, doing away with it. Look what he said. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up, edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now let me ask you something. Does God want you and all the believers to be in unity of what they believe? The unity of the faith. Why, Amos said, two can't walk together except they be agreed. You know what's wrong with the church today? We're not in agreement. Look back in chapter 4, verse 4. There is how many bodies? How many? I pretty agree. You can agree on that, can't you? You know, God, He put everything together. If He had three or four, you wouldn't know which one they was. So He says there's one body. Even as you're called in one body and one spirit, even as you're called in the one hope, if you call it. One Lord. What's the next one? Huh? One faith. One baptism. He said in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. The unity's in the body. The trouble is, the body's not keeping the unity of the Spirit. Why? They're carnal. And it's divided. And Paul's warning them. He wants the church to be full grown. He wants them to grow up. Look what he said in there. Verse 13. That we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge. There's that word knowledge again. Knowledge of the Son of God unto a what? Now you reckon that's a sinless man or a matured man? It's a matured man. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, like the Corinthians was, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now you know children, they want something to play with all the time. And the majority of Christendom today is nothing but playing church. And they have no knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ or what God is doing today. And the mystery has been kept from them, and they can't grow, and they can't be spiritual as the Lord would have them to. But Paul said, I didn't shun nothing, but I gave you the whole counsel of God. I preached everything God showed me. I gave it to you. And you know something? I can stand with a clear conscience today, with an open heart, and my Lord and my Savior is listening to me right now, and I lie not. I haven't shunned to preach you what God showed me. But I gave you everything. Just like Paul. Warning people to be followers. Warning them to grow up. You've got to be a man to do the work of a man. Don't be a child when it comes to serving the Lord. Be a man. And that's a full-grown adult. I'm not just saying you ladies, you're excluded. I'm talking to all of you. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have a ministry to do in that body, and you have a job to perform in that body. I'm just trying to bring it to your mind. I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to stir you up. I'm trying to admonish you to do the job God called you to do. Flesh will hinder you. If you're not careful, you'll be doing more for your old flesh than you do for the Lord. Admonishing. Warning the church to become full grown. Warning the church of grievous wars. Said in Acts 20:28, he talked about the grievous wars when I depart. They'll come in, not sparing the flock. There's people out there that's out to spoil you. They're out to take you captive. Look in Colossians again. In Colossians over there. Notice what he says in verse 16. I'm sorry, go back. Let's just go back in verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You received Him by faith, you walk in Him by faith. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now watch it. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. There is nothing you need if you have Christ. But there is traditions out there, and men with vain deceit will spoil you. What is spoil? It's taking the spoil. You know the victory. They win the battle in the Old Testament. They got the spoils of the goods. And Satan is out there to spoil you, to take you captive. And that's what Paul told Timothy over there. When he told him over there that he's out to take people and pray for them. Verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Many people oppose themselves. They know the truth, but they won't allow themselves to believe the truth and stand for the truth. A lot of people won't stand for the truth of right division because they're going to suffer persecution, and they don't want to suffer persecution for it. They're like the Galatians there. They want to glory in the flesh over there. Paul said they constrain you. They compel you to be circumcised, only unless the cross of Christ, they should suffer for it. They don't want to suffer for the truth. Men today don't want to suffer for the truth. Men today deceive people and they use vain philosophies and traditions to indoctrinate people and people to swallow it hook, line, and sinker like my duck. When I was a little boy, I had a couple of little white ducks. They grew up. And out there, you go out there and you feed them kernels of corn. Throw them a kernel and catch it in midair. Oh, you know, duck got pretty big white and yellow, you know, bill and everything. Throw them kernels. But I find you throw them kernels and then you slip in a little washer. It catch that and swallow it. You know what happened? The duck died. Killed my duck. It's sort of like the old fella had a chicken house. A little old funny joke, but it gets the point across. He's out there and he's running low on his feed, so he decides to grind up some sawdust and put in his feed to make it go further, and the old chickens kept eating, kept laying. He said, Said I put in about 5% sawdust and 95% feed, I'd get a little more. And he got in a little more, he got a little more, he got a little more. Finally he was feeding them more sawdust than he was feeding. They just kept a lead. The only problem is they laid a bunch of woodpeckers instead of hen chicks. That's what's wrong with the church today. People spread a little truth until they don't even know the truth from a lie. They just go to church and they just sit there and they don't even want to think. I want you to be spiritual. I want you to be full grown. I want you to be able to handle the Word of God and stand up before the Lord, one in the church. Last thing I want you to know, we ought to warn the church to wake up. Romans chapter 13. My time's just about gone. Romans chapter 13. Wolves is out there. They're out there to take you captive. Did I read that in 2 Timothy? I didn't, did I? Go back to 2 Timothy. I need to read that. I might have. They oppose themselves. Verse 25, in meekness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. The only way they're going to get out of the snare that they're in is to acknowledge in the truth. You know what that word acknowledging there? That's come to a full knowledge of the mystery of the gospel of the doctrine of the Apostle Paul. And he said, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. How do they take captive people? By false doctrine in the context. Don't you understand that Paul said in the latter times, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. These seducing spirits and devils are in men and women standing behind pulpits today, and they're spewing out that garbage that opposes the doctrine of God, and it's taking people captive. And they don't know the truth of God. Warning people, Romans chapter 13. So we warn the church to be followers of Paul. We warn them of grievous wolves out there, not sparing the flock. They don't care about your soul. They care about your pocketbook. Huh? Brother Kevin describing preachers today have a good, make good money and good living, good profession. I sat back there and I thought, not in the grace movement. I think sometime y'all think we ought to live off fresh air and fried rabbit tracks. I mean, really. You know, it's amazing, people that before, that when it was in the system and everything, boy, they walked the chalk line. They could find that God Almighty saved them by grace, and they're free, and you can't get them to do nothing for the Lord. I'm like Brother Steve said one time. He said he's going to preach a message on people he wished he never had saw the mystery. Because when they saw it, they just quit. Huh? Say amen right there. Not you, none of yous like that. It's those other people that's not here. Look in what Christ says in Romans. Romans chapter 13. Notice what he said in verse, 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Paul thought it was a hand bent. My goodness, folks, it's been 2,000 years. Paul's been preaching for 2,000 years. He's long preaching. He's like the guy that's in the third loft. He went to sleep. And when he went to sleep while Paul's preaching, he fell down from the heavenly position, the third loft. Paul takes you up out of the third heaven. But the church has gone to sleep after long preaching. Paul's preached longer than Moses preached. Moses preached 1,500 years. Paul's been preaching over 2,000 years. And the church today is asleep. Talking about dark ages. There ain't much light of the Lord today. But look what he said. It's time to wake up. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. You know what the armor of light is? It's knowledge. According to Colossians 1:10, it has to do with knowledge. Light is knowing. You cut the lights off here, you don't know where to go. You don't know how to walk. You can't see. You have light, you can see, you know. That's what knowledge is. It's knowing, it's light. But the church today needs to wake up. And then they need to warn the lost of the coming wrath of Almighty God. There's judgment coming, folks. And I just feel compelled to read this verse to you. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I wasn't, but not just the lost, but you that are saved. Judgment's coming. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, and you don't have to turn there because I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians, but Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That word persuade, we warn them. We bring it to their mind. There's something terrifying about you as a member of the body of Christ standing before the Lord and receiving in your body the things that you've done. What we do in this body down here, whether it be good or bad, you're going to get a payment for it. Now you need to think about that. But look what he says. And if you're lost, there's wrath a-coming, but this is for the believer. Look what he says. He says in verse 1, he said, "Let a man so count of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." More than is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Your faithfulness, not the quantity, but the quality of your work is what you're going to give an account for. Not how much you've done, but why you've done what you've done. And the greatest reward is in verse 5. "Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsel of the heart." God knows what's in your heart. God knows why you're here right now. God knows whether you want to be here right now. He knows your motive for doing what you do. If your motive is to be glorified for what you do, you can forget it. You will receive according to your motive. Some's going to suffer loss. Some of the works is going to be burned by fire at the judgment seat of Christ because they didn't have the right motive of the heart. God knows your heart. Not the words that come out of your mouth, but your heart. Well, you are a good feller. But in your heart, I wish you'd get on out of here. Your heart. You can't hide your heart. Now look. And then, when he does that, every man have praise of who? God. Don't you want his praise? Don't you want him? Don't you want the Lord to give you an attaboy? I do. Warning every man. Church, wake up. I don't believe it's going to be long. We're going to be out of here. So while you said that 30 years ago, well, we're 30 years closer than when I said it 30 years ago. Amen. You know the beauty of the rapture of the church? It's a mystery that hadn't been revealed yet when it's going to take place. But it's going to take place. Be ready. Warning every man, night and day, do the job you're doing. May God bless you. Shake hands with one another and you're at liberty to go.